David becomes king over Israel, part 3. We begin this lesson by reading from 1 Samuel, starting at verse 3. Samuel died, and all Israel lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, his own town. By that time, Saul had put the mediums and the spirits out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered, encamping at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together at Gilboa, and when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, fear struck his heart. But when the king asked of the Lord what to do, the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, by Urim, or by prophet. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go to her and inquire of her." And they said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and went by night with two of his men to this woman. And he said to her, "Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name." And the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spirits from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life, to cause me to die also?" And Saul swore by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for doing this." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And Saul answered, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman answered, "I saw a spirit rising up from the earth." So he said to her, "What does he look like?" She said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." Then Saul realized that it was Samuel, and he bowed down with his face to the ground. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed because the Philistines start another war against me, and God has left me and does not answer me any more by prophet or by dreams. So I have called you so that you may tell me what I should do." Then Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, seeing that the Lord has abandoned you and has become your enemy? The Lord is finished with you as he spoke through me, because the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore the Lord is causing this to happen to you today. Also, the Lord will deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of what Samuel had said. No strength remained in him, as he also had eaten no food all day or all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands and did what you asked me. Now, therefore, please, listen to your maidservant and let me serve you a piece of bread and eat so that you may have strength when you go on your way." But Saul refused, "I will not eat." Then his servants urged him together with the woman, urging him, and he listened to them. Then he got up from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf at her house and hastened to kill it. She took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. Then she brought it to Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they got up and went away that night. In this Bible reading, we learn that God had forbidden Israel to ever consult with mediums or other spirits. We find that already in the laws that God gave to Israel through Moses. We read of it in Leviticus 19, verse 31, and Leviticus 20, verse 6. Pay no attention to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. I will set my face against any person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits, prostituting himself with them, and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves today and be holy, because I, the Lord your God, I am holy. Know my statutes and obey them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Because of this law about mediums and false familiar spirits, God instructed Saul to cut all such people from the land of Israel. And now, in his distress, when God does not answer him anymore, he tries to force God to speak to him through one of them? Questions to discuss. Can you talk about the fact that so many people today still go to witch doctors, traditional healers, as they now deceptively call themselves? Is King Saul not doing the very same in this case? If we cannot trust God for healing, or have no money to go to a regular doctor as a way of seeking godly help, we go to doctors who use demonic spirits to be healed? Do demons heal people for free? Or do they demand a price? And what kind of a price? And who pays it? Is it true that the longer we keep on disobeying God, the more difficult it becomes to ever return again back to Him for His love, fellowship, and help in all that we do so that we will be successful? How do you think God feels about people who go to witch doctors for help, rather than coming to Him? Will such people end up in the grip of Satan? And will Satan in time increase their torment and kill them? We now continue this lesson by reading from 1 Samuel 31. The Philistines fought against Israel, and Israel fled from the Philistines and fell, slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons and killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. And when the battle became fierce against Saul, archers hit and severely wounded him. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not do that, because he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men died together that same day. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, the city Saul had delivered long ago from the Ammonite king Nahash, in the first few years of his kingship. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, their valiant men traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth-Shan and burned them when they returned to Jabesh. They then took their bones and buried those under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. Case Hook has, during his years here in Africa, noticed that African people are extremely well relationships-oriented. People are very important, but I have also noticed that relationships are for many people more important than living righteously, living in obedience to God's will for life. In this story, we find a clear example of this in Prince Jonathan. He remained loyal to his father, King Saul, even when his father was chasing David to kill him. Jonathan knew that God had chosen David to be the next king, and had even accepted this choice of God. But he yet stayed with his father and served him while he had a strong friendship with David, including covenants between them. Why would Jonathan not have served with David already when David was fleeing from his father? He only wanted to serve David once David would be king. Questions to discuss. Can you talk together about what is more important? To remain loyal to people who do evil because you may need them someday? Or live by God's will? Does that not mean that we have trouble trusting God all the way, but we also won't, if necessary, in the future, someday, be helped by the people who do evil before God? Do we not become infected by the bad lifestyle of bad people who we keep on living with, or who we keep on protecting because we may need them sometime in the future? Is this not the same as becoming infected by people with infectious sicknesses? Is Jonathan not double-minded in wanting to live the good life now in the palace with an evil-minded father, but also be prepared for the best position under David when he will become king? Would Jonathan's life with his evil father and serving him not impact his heart in a negative way? Do you notice that having chosen to live with his father and serving him now has cost him his life? Could Jonathan not have reached a much more fruitful potential for God if he had stayed with David while he was yet fleeing from his father Saul? We now continue reading God's word in 2 Samuel. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed for 2 days in Ziklag, a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And when he came to David, he fell to the ground, prostrating himself. And David said, "Where have you come from?" And he answered, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." Then David asked him, "How did the battle go? Please tell me." And the man said, "The people have fled from the battle, many of the people are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. Then David asked the young man, How do you know that Saul and Jonathan are dead? Then the young man answered, I just happened to be on Mount Gilboa and saw Saul leaning on his spear. And indeed, the chariots and the horsemen came fast chasing after him. And when he looked back, he saw me and called me, and I answered, Here I am. And he asked, Who are you? So I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And Saul said to me, Please, stand over me and kill me, because I'm suffering terribly, but my life still remains in me. So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. I then took the crown from his head and the bracelet from his arm, and have brought them here to my lord. Then David tore his clothes, and so did all the men who were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul, for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David asked the young man, Where are you from? And he said, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. So David said to him, Why were you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of his young men and said, Kill him. And he struck him so that he died, while David said to him, Your blood is on your own head. For your own mouth has testified against you when you said, I have killed the Lord's anointed. Then David lamented over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he told his men to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. It is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty men have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, and proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul, not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not come back, and the sword of Saul did not return. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your clothing. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle! Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished. Then David asked the Lord, Shall I go to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord answered him, Go. To where shall I go? And God said, To Hebron. Therefore David went to Hebron, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought along the men who were with him, every man with his household. And so they dwelt in the area of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came and anointed David king over the house of Judah. They told David, The men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. Therefore David sent messengers to Jabesh in Gilead, telling them, "You are blessed of the Lord, because you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and you have buried him. May the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness, because you have done this. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened, and be courageous. For your master Saul is dead, and the tribe of Judah has anointed me king over them." Questions to discuss. Have you noticed that David undertakes no plans at all without asking God what to do? David suggests a plan and then asks God to confirm it. Is such seeking of Father God's plan for us not exactly what God wants? So when Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 14, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the mature sons of God," is that only a New Testament manner of living? Do you notice how much love David had for his friend Prince Jonathan? Now starts a time of great instability in Israel, as Saul's general Abner wants to rule through a weak son of King Saul, Ishbosheth. It is a time when many people of Israel die in battles between Abner and King David, while King David grows stronger. And it is then in time that God can bring peace to all of Israel through his servant, King David. End of this lesson.